Well, hello there and good morning, my friends. Chris Marcus here with you for Arcadia Economics on, let's just cut to the chase here because this is an exciting morning on a variety of fronts. Although, as you see, well, we've dipped slightly under $50, but we did once again, I guess you could say this would be really like the third time we've had $50 plus silver. We hit it in 1980. Almost in 2011, but earlier this year. And then again now, which, especially after the sell-off over the past couple of weeks, that I get it, can get people rattled. Although certainly encouraging to see prices rebounding, gold surging again, a lot happening out there. And I might add, many of the conditions that led to this are still there, have not been resolved. I'd say a good case to be made that they're going to be exacerbated in the months and years ahead. Harder to see how that doesn't happen. Although we have new silver developments and a whole lot more. So fortunately, to join me and dig into all this, we have Uncle Hunt, aka Sean Kunkun of Dolly Varden Silver, who Sean, maybe I think there'll be a movie about you one day if this all goes according to plan. And with $50 silver, plus your efforts with Dolly to increase some of your exposure, it seems like you're right on track. And we will touch on Dolly as well today, but a lot happening in gold and silver. And welcome on in, everyone at home. Happy to have you here. And happy to have you here, Sean. So, how are you today, my friend, on this exciting morning?
I'm doing really good, Chris. Thanks for having me on. And I think our timing is nice here with $50 silver. Like you said, third time in history, third time's a charm. So happy to be on.
Yes, and in addition to $50 silver for all of the gold, hardcore gold fans who just want gold, they don't care about silver. Well, it's going well for you today as well because we have gold up, was up over $100 right now, up 85 on the futures to 4,096. And then on the silver side, here we are again, just under $50. We'll see what happens by the time we wrap up here today. Interesting, Sean. Something I know you've been looking at. We've talked about a lot here where we had this breakage, I would think it's fair to say, in the silver market a couple weeks ago as the prices were surging. And basically, you had a shortage of silver in London. So the London spot price went into backwardation relative to the futures. Or the futures were in backwardation relative to the spot price. As spot price surged, we saw metal leave COMEX in China, which I might add, it's like the whack-a-mole. You fill that one, and then a new problem is popping up here. Although, just to get started, we did see a normalization. Although here on this XAG USD, that's the spot price, so still currently above futures by 15 cents and. With all that said, Sean, there's a lot to dig into, but any thoughts as we get started here on another leg of the rally with silver up $1.70 on the day?
Yeah, lots of thoughts, Chris. What I've focused on the last 20 years is I've focused on the mining stocks, right? Because they've typically outperformed the underlying metal. And if we, the big exchange in Canada, the predominant exchange that houses a lot of these mining stocks is the Venture Exchange. So if you go back to April, we put in a low on the Venture Exchange of 570 points. And just to put that into historical context, this was an index that was valued at over 3,000 points in 2007. So during the Great Financial Crisis, we went from 3,000 points to 685, and then back up to about 2,500. So I bring this up because in April, we sold down to 570 points. Now, with the big rally that we had in the summer, with silver, surging to over $54 an ounce, gold getting up to $4,400 an ounce, the Venture Exchange doubled. It got up to about 1,040. 1040 was the number. And I was looking at trading on last week at around 870. We're into about a 15% correction across the board in the mining stocks. And Chris, what I think is going to happen next, and that's what's most important, right? Like, I feel like you should go on the I Told You So tour around America because you've been talking about silver. When we met, silver was $12, and here we are, 400% appreciation. So I support and sponsor the I Told You So tour that Chris Marcus should be heading around the country talking about. But in all seriousness, so it's one thing to look back, but let's look ahead. I think where we'll be come April or May is I think we'll be 50% higher than where we got to in the September high. So what that implies is it implies a venture exchange that is trading at 1600 points. And that's a clean double from where we're currently trading. Now, it's not going to impact and affect all stocks equally. It's still a stock picker's market. There's companies that are going to make some really smart decisions. And then there's companies that are going to make some bad decisions. So, you have to choose wisely. But, I think the bigger question here, Chris, is why? Why has the gold price doubled? Why has the silver price doubled? And I'm not, I, and we're talking like, for silver in the last 6 months. If you look historically, 2011, 1979, other times in recent history where you've seen similar price action. And then if you take it a step even further back and you look at the last 500 years and you examine, the pound sterling in Britain, or you focus on what happened to the French, or what, and you look at other great superpowers and reserve currencies. What we're in the midst of right now is a devaluation, a debasement of the dollar. And what's really interesting about this right now is the big Wall Street firms are now saying you need to have debasement insurance. You
The
need to get.
debasement trade. They even got a name for it now. Can have a t-shirt soon.
So you know what? So I think we're into, I think the bigger question here is like, why is this happening? And how do you protect yourself? But no, I think look, I believe you're going to see $5,000 gold. I think you're going to see $75 silver, and I think it's coming between now and I think late would be May. I think it could happen sooner.
Yeah, well, we will certainly dig into that question you asked of why are these prices soaring like that? Because there are plenty of reasons. Although if I may be as bold as to say so, if I can disagree on one item you said there where we're in the midst of a dollar devaluation, I would say based on what we've heard and not just heard, but also seen and backed by action out of the Trump administration where it seems like they take turns. Who's going to say the dollar is overvalued today? And we've seen it get pummeled since Trump has come into office, and based on what they want to do, it kind of has to go lower. And so it's amazing that we could still be in the early innings of that. Now, Sean, you mentioned some of the mining shares, and I have the SIL Silver Miners Index here. And amazing, if you look back to the beginning of the rally, really in 2024, there it was, a low of 2258. So you got a three bagger there, and certainly a lot of movement. Although, Sean, before we dig into the specifics of what is happening in silver right now, just one thing to point out for you and our audience, because if we look at the silver chart, which now I might add is back over $50, let's see, you go back on August 18th, is that point there where 37, and then starts rallying 2 months later, it's up to 50. Here's the interesting thing. That's August 18th. And if we look over here at the dollar chart, August 18th, where are you? Right there, 97.80. So we saw silver go up 50% while the dollar was rallying. And again, it's not my opinion. You can hear Scott Bessent, more from him in just a moment. Everyone else, again, I would re encourage people to read that Stephen Miron paper, who's now the chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors, part of the Fed board. He's the one who's advocating for two rate cuts at a time, where he talks about the overvalued dollar, and we'll get into the evidence that seems like he's doing more than just talking about it. So we're seeing these metals rally even in the face of a dollar rally, which makes you wonder what happens if the dollar continues to roll over again.
Yeah. Chris, I'm curious, could you pull up a copper chart?
I sure can.
And the reason I ask is, as you're well aware, the speaking of the Trump administration, they just brought silver onto the critical minerals list.
Yes, they
And I was
did.
thinking, if they evoke Section 232, like they had threatened to do with copper. If they did that for silver, where you're basically threatening a tariff, we saw what that did to copper prices going back to the early summer. You saw that surge to spiking to what, $6 a pound. And so, that's where, I think this is a bit of a game changer here. With silver being added to the critical minerals list. And again, if Section 232 is invoked and tariffs are brought into the metal, we could just, we could see that 75 a lot sooner than May.
It would be wild, and I hear we're getting closer to an end of the government shutdown. Incredible. In the midst of all this, they can't even, what does that say about the dollar there? They can't even keep the thing running. People are out of work, and still the politics dominates, is what it is. Although, speaking of critical minerals and politics, your Trump meeting with Central Asian leaders to boost critical mineral ties. So, like you pointed out, was added to the draft list back in August, made official last week. You're seeing these policies unfold, and I believe here we go, breaking. Then last week, China tightens its grip on silver, posing stringent conditions on the export of three critical minerals, tungsten, antimony, and silver. So it's like all these things that, and Sean, I don't know if you were drinking before breakfast with that, like the Chris was right tour. I don't know if we're gonna go that route yet. It's a lot of
Chris,
these things that
it's the I told you so tour.
the I told you so tour. Well, in either case, a lot of these things that you, Vince, and others we've been talking about here. I get it when the price was $20, $25, nobody wanted to hear it, but we're seeing these things happen. So point that out. And Sean, here's the other thing that's quite intriguing, because I mentioned we had silver shortage in London, blew out the spread. We saw some silver go over there, about 50 million ounces in total. Some went from London, some went from China. Although if the free float is 150 million ounces, the daily turnover is 250 million ounces. Seems like 50 million would leave a little bit short, and it's not just me who thinks that. Here's Robert Gottlieb, the former JP Morgan Precious Metals Managing Director. He went on Kitco saying we need 100 to 150 million ounces. We're not there. And in the midst of that, we saw some of the silver had left from China. Like thinking, okay, you need silver in India, you need silver in London. If it's coming from China, and here was a report a couple of weeks back, 150 to 150 tons were 100 to 150 tons were on their way out of China. And then all of a sudden, here's the combined China silver inventories from the Shanghai Gold Exchange and the Shanghai Futures Exchange. Obviously, you can see since 2021, it's fallen quite a bit, had stabilized, and then in the last month, we see dip down to 1453 tons. So we just saw. Now, not all of they said 100 to 150 tons went over to London, maybe a little more since then, but it's like you had the problems pop up in these other locations. Now, to fill that, you have it coming from here. And then, as you astutely pointed out, at the same time, it's being listed as a critical mineral. Trump's going around trying to make friends on that. China's saying we're not going to play ball on that. So it's like you have $50 silver, but not, well, it's all getting resolved like many perhaps thought a week or two ago. Instead, put it poetically, it seems like a bigger clusterfuck than even before.
Well, and I think again, going back to the debt at 37 trillion and the deficits running at 2 trillion a year, there's no solutions to the reasons, that we're seeing the metals do what they're doing. And until we get solutions, until we can balance the budget, I'm still very focused. And Chris, one of the things I'd like to highlight today is I've been running Dolly Varden since we met, and we made a very significant discovery that we had out today, where we just in addition to having a lot of silver on the property, we just had one of the best gold hits that is not factored into our current mineral resource estimate. So we just put out a pretty significant number, 26 grams of gold over 14 meters, which is, this is a world-class hit. And this, again, not within our existing resource. So, what I'm trying to do here, and I like to get into the solution for people. Go out and protect yourselves by getting physical silver, by getting, and and we talked about this before we hit record. People can't afford gold anymore. Like it's become unaffordable, right? In Canada, the gold price is close to $6,000 an ounce, right? Like it's, the average person cannot go out and protect themselves, but they still can go out and get some silver. And so what, the other way to protect yourself is owning the mining stocks. And so what we're trying to do at Dolly is we're trying, and this is something that we, it was part of our strategy, our vision, and our business model was the large companies couldn't afford to put money into R&D. And in our business, we call that exploration, right? It's not research and development, it's exploration and development. So the big companies couldn't, because silver was sub $20, they weren't incentivized, they weren't making any money. So going out and securing this, the future resources. And so that's what we've done, Chris, and this hit today highlights it. And in terms of catalyst, we got another 80 drill holes. And I'm hoping more hits like this coming. We've had two other really big intercepts so far this year where we hit 1400 grams of silver over 20 meters. And we had a big gold hit, 3 grams over 120 meters. And so we've, and then this one here is very, very, very significant. And actually on that end, I took some investors up to tour the area. And if you actually scroll down, there's an image of our drill core back just on that press release. And so,
I'll pull it up in a second. I just want them to see that beautiful hunk you got there.
So this is actually not from our project. This is not from our project, but so I was up touring the area. I was taking some investors around to give them an idea of how rich the area is, the region, and we pulled this out of Ascot. It's premier. The 310 level is running 10 ounces of gold per ton. We're talking about like over 300 gram per ton. And my VPX got back to Dolly. And if you pull back that news release, there's an image. If you scroll down, there's an image of this next to our drill core right there. And our VPX goes back to site and he goes, "Sean, we've got something that looks exactly like Premier 310 level." And I go, "No way." And I said that, that would have to be over 300 grams per ton. And if you look at the press release, there was parts of this intercept that ran over 430 grams of gold. And so my point here is we're in a very rich area. And we're focused on trying to build up big silver and gold resources in a safe jurisdiction. And we're doing it at a time where you've got gold and silver prices at an all-time high.
Yeah, that certainly is a nice mix. And as I was reading through this, I guess it was down here when you mentioned mineralization remains open and will be a central focus of future drilling. You talked before about how I know your original goal was, I think you started with 50 million ounces, then you got past that, went up to 100. A question I know a lot of mining stock investors have, do you, and again, the drill will tell us the answer in due time, but do you have any idea how big this could or is likely to get?
Yeah, so when we started with about 40 million ounces of silver, And so we were on a quest for 100 million ounces. And if you factor in the gold that we have in the system, we've got about 150 million ounces today. I think the next logical step is to go over 200 million on a silver equivalent basis. That's adding in, let's call it 100 million ounces of gold and then another 100 million ounces of silver equivalent, which is through the gold. So my next goal, and we are putting out a new resource estimate in Q1, is to get up over 200 million ounces on an equivalent basis. But ultimately, look, I think what would make Dolly Varden very, very attractive to the large miners is if we could demonstrate a district that had the potential to host over 400 million ounces. Now, I was just listening to one of the biggest legends in our space, Keith Neumeyer, and Keith was talking about he was celebrating the fact that financings are getting done and money's coming into companies because for his company, First Majestic, that I think is valued at like $10 billion, he's looking to find the next 100 million ounce silver deposits to acquire. And so when I put out the goal of 400 million ounces, it's not necessary to be relevant, but I do think it does demonstrate the geological potential of this district. And I think when a mining company's looking to get into an area, like we've got Newmont up in the neighborhood operating two mines, I think when a company like Newmont sets up shop in an area, they want to be there for decades, right? They want to see, a 20, a 30-year mine life. They want to see big numbers in order for, as these companies grow, Agnico Eagle's now a $120 billion company. As these companies grow, in order to move their needle, they need to see big numbers of production. And I think having a 400 million ounce silver EQ project would make us attractive to even the biggest silver miners in the world.
Well, I appreciate that because that leads into the next question I had for you, where you kind of answered it, but seems like even in the past month, when the prices were surging, maybe it takes a little while for things to settle. Have not, well, we've seen over the past year some consolidation, some acquisitions. From what you're seeing and kind of what you just described with First Majestic, are we headed towards an environment where some of the larger producers are, could you say, going to be forced to go shopping at some point?
Well, what's really interesting is like it's last year, if we had this call a year ago, there was 13 primary silver miners. Now there's 10, right? And so we have seen some consolidation in the space. Gatos Silver, SilverCrest, MAG, they've all been taken over. And what we saw last week was we saw what was traditionally a silver co, Coeur, from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. They have kind of, in some ways, it's interesting. They're going for a more gold-centric opportunity, right? And maybe it's a part of a strategy where they're beefing up their production, they're beefing up their cash flow, and then they're going to make another big splash in the silver world, right? But I think what's interesting is, you're going to see more and more consolidation, and with $50 silver, there's a lot of companies, particularly older management teams, that are happy to hit the bid here, Chris, because historically they think they're getting good value for their shareholders, but everything's relative. Like what does it cost to fill up your gas tank? What does it cost to pay your heating bill? What does it cost to fill up your cart at the grocery store? You could argue that we need like $300 silver just to keep pace with all the other rising costs. So I think there's a big issue for people seeing nominal prices that they think are high. Like a lot of people are like, oh, Sean, Dolly Varden, it's great that you guys got up to $7.50 a share on on that run to $54 silver. Well, yeah, but with all things being equal, Dolly needs to be a $20 stock to preserve our purchasing power, right? And that's how I look at it. I look at everything on a relative basis. When we first met, Chris, I would need 64,000 ounces of silver to buy a home, an average home in Vancouver. Today, I need like 15,000 ounces of silver. And so it's all relative. Historically, where was that number? Was it 5,000? Was it 1,000? How do you define historically if you really want to go back to a time where, silver and gold were our monetary metals, right? They haven't been, Silver has been an industrial metal for the last 100 years, really. There's been two moments in that last century where people have celebrated the monetary aspect at large. But so the way I think is on a relative basis, and in an environment where you've got an everything bubble where fart coin is trading at a $1 trillion valuation, I need a little bit more than $50 for my silver.
Yeah, we gotta get silver to catch up with fart coin. I don't know if they're a trillion yet. I think it hit a billion, but who knows?
Get my point. You get my
I
point.
hear the Fed is injecting liquidity again, so again, a lot happening. Although Sean, I guess what would you let's say that we do have $60 or $70 silver sometime in the next year. What do you imagine the mining stock equity environment would be like? Do you think we'd see a flurry of deals taking place once that settles in, or anything that you would expect to happen that people could be on the watch for in that scenario?
I was listening to Rick Rule, and I think the last time we saw each other was at the Rule Symposium in Boca, if I'm not mistaken. But anyways, listen to Rick, and Rick said, I like to make when investments, not if. I like to invest in things where I've got that strong conviction of when. So to answer your question, when I see 60, 70, 80, $100 silver, when I see it, not, look, I think what is going to happen is it's all about a flow of funds. It's all about, money entering the space, and it's all about momentum. And we're just not there yet. And, it's interesting. I remember when gold went to $2,000, there was a lot of investors, a lot of speculators who buy gold mining equities that were really disappointed. They were going, whoa, like we thought the world was going to wake up to gold at 2000. And it wasn't until gold got up to 3000 and then 4000 that the market really woke up. So, Chris, I don't know. It may not be until $150 silver, And I think if when you and I crunched some CPI inflation adjusted, prices to the old 1980 high, I think we get up to like 150, right? So maybe that's the number where, Joe Sixpack wakes up and goes, oh, wait a minute, I think I need to get some of this stuff, right? And so look, I don't know, it's all about a flow of capital, and I can't tell you when capital is going to rush and sector rotate out of other sectors and come into this. And historically what we've seen is we've seen things like recessions and crisis and even depressions bring investors into insurance, which is gold and silver. And so maybe we need to see more uncertainty and more issues arise in the financial system before gold and silver, and silver really plays a role as the silver lining. So, look, for me, I think silver today is cheaper at $50 than it was when Warren Buffett was buying it at four, because on a relative basis. So I think it's a better time to come into the market today. And ultimately, where I think this metal is going is multiples higher than where it is. And I think if you look at how the stocks have historically traded when metal prices go up, that's where the leverage is, right? It's the company like Dolly Varden that was trading at 30 cents a silver ounce in the ground. Multiply that by 40 million ounces in the ground, that's a $12 million valuation. Where I think we'll go is we'll trade at a $5 or $6 in situ value. You multiply that by a potential of 400 million ounces, that's $2.4 billion. You know, if you could buy something at 12 million and sell it at 2.4 billion, that's a big wealth creating exercise. It's going to take years to accomplish that. It's already been 5 years in the journey to go from, you know, call it 20 million to we got up to about a $650 million market cap in September. We've backed off to about 500 million today, but we've gone from 20 million to 500. That next move from 500 to 2 billion, you know, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some success. It's going to take some good decisions. But I think you're confident that the company will make those right decisions.
And a few interesting things you touched on there. One of which you mentioned how, you know, when we have a next crisis or so forth, and in addition to what we talked earlier about with this happening while the dollar has been rising over the past couple of months, it's very different from what we saw in 2011 or 1980, where this is happening at least before an overt, you know, obviously you can make a case we've been in a real recession for however many years if you have a real inflation rate. But I mean, Jerome Powell's still going out there saying the economy's strong. It's stunning. We haven't had what I think is a matter of time when you look at these debt loads. Although, Sean, maybe we have had it and Jerome just hasn't admitted it, because as people I think are starting to find out, there's been some liquidity injections going in from the Fed, $125 billion reportedly over the last 5 days. And on top of all of it, as we discussed earlier, you still have the supply issues. You know, if people are feeling better for a couple of weeks on the banking side over the last few weeks, but those haven't gone away. Although, Sean, one other thing that back to Dolly, though, that I did want to touch on, because we did get a couple of questions about this, and I know you guys had a financing a couple weeks ago, and was wondering if you could just talk through the decision making, because obviously when the prices are high and there's money coming in, and you're balancing that against the share count. So if you could just talk people through the thought process that goes into that, and anything you could say about plans going forward.
Yeah, we had an opportunity to bring in $34 million, which represented about 4% dilution to the company. So, you know, this is a capital intensive business. And, you know, even though we had $30 million on the books, you know, why did we double the treasury? We were able, because of some tax advantageous investing rules in Canada, to bring in the money at a premium. So we diluted at about $7.40 a share for a company that traded at an all-time high of 749. So we basically were able to capture the top of the trading range over the last 10 years and bring in enough capital to run the business for the next 2 years. So we've taken the financing risk out of 2026, out of 2027. Right. And I think that's important. Right. And then it also puts us in a position of strength that if there is one of those management teams that are out there that are feeling like, oh, you know, $50 is a good number. We want to, you know, we want to sell our business. Well, one thing that we've done in addition, like Dolly's been built on three pillars. It's been built on bringing $185 million of capital to the company. It's been built on great science, making discoveries. But the other pillar it's been built on is acquisitions. We've had a strong history of being acquisitive. And so having $64 million in the bank puts you in a position where you can go out and buy stuff. And if silver ounces, if we can find silver or even gold ounces that are trading at a discount, and you know, with some of the beliefs that I have about where the market is going, and if we can add value technically to these operations, and most importantly, Chris, if we can bring in cash flow to the business, that would be something where we wouldn't have to dilute in the future. and we wouldn't have to do a financing. So these are the things that we're challenging ourselves with. But we're having fun. It's the best time to build a business is during a depression, and that's when we built Dolly Varden. We built Dolly Varden during a depression in the metals and mining market. We're coming out of that depression for silver and gold. It's early days, and we're at the head of the pack here. We're a top 13 silver investment for mining equity investors. There's 10 producers, and there's three companies that are large advanced exploration developers. And we're a top 13 choice for investors when it comes to, and we've got our shares now listed on the New York Stock Exchange. So it's a great time for silver. I'm glad to be on with you at $50 silver. We timed it well, and looking forward to the next 6 months.
Yes, and yep, we got silver spot price $50 even right now. Sean, a couple last quick ones before we wrap up. You talked about maiden resource or the updated resource estimate in hopefully the next quarter. It was interesting. You also just mentioned the possibility of cash flow at some point. Could you give just some of the bigger events of anything you could put a timeline on, over the next year? Maybe we'll have this over
Yeah,
2 or 3 years, anything that
sure.
you're internally
So,
targeting.
in terms of upcoming catalysts, we've got I think the stock was up today like 7%, I believe, the last time I looked. And so, this is on the back of so it's up 7.6% today. It's up 41 cents a share today, and this is on the back of great drill results, and it's on the back of good run in the silver price today. We've got another 80 drill holes. We've got, 80 more catalysts to come up to fuel and put wind in our sails. So that's something that you can bank on. The other thing that you can bank on is a new compliant resource estimate in Q1. So these are the things I can control. The things I can't control is like the company has made five acquisitions. Sometimes it takes a year or two. To because we want to get good value. We don't want to chase, we don't want to overpay. In order to pass on value to our shareholders, we need to buy things appropriately. But we are monitoring things. So I can't put a timeline, just like I can't tell you when silver is going to $75. I can't tell you when we're going to make our ma next major acquisition, but the threshold of the types of businesses that we're looking to get, into business with are operating businesses.
Okay, well, appreciate that, and hopefully that is helpful. Two last ones. I can't let you leave without Scott Bessent Drebin. I don't know if I told you, Sean, before, but every time I hear Scott Bessent talk, I just keep hearing Frank Drebin saying, "For no matter how silly the idea of a queen may seem to us," I don't know if anybody else has that reaction. Although we did have a question from one of our super fans, Diana in Vancouver, who's also a Dolly fan, I heard, and she was asking about Ascot, which has been on care and maintenance, and any update that you could provide on that?
Yeah, so I've got Dolly Varden run out of the Fiore group of companies, and this is with legendary mining investor Frank Giustra. And Frank and his team and his technical team have come into Ascot and are looking to do a rights offering and looking to do a large financing and looking to put a new plan together. And so, yeah, it's something to consider when you look at Dolly Varden, our proximity to a 3,000 ton per day facility. And so, when I look at these areas, like if you look at the North, how the North was won, how the North had thrived in the past was a hub and spoke model. If you look back to the history of Dolly Varden, we used to ship our ore down to the Antioch smelter. Okay. And so having a fully permitted 3,000 ton per day mill that's on care and maintenance in our backyard, if that's something that we were able to use It would cut a lot of capital expenditures. It would cut a lot of permitting times. And I think for me, as I've really, become a student of the mining industry over the last 22 years working in it professionally, there's projects, Chris, that were around 22 years ago that are still around that are not operating. And so, what's the difference between a project that actually moves forward and gets into production, and any times that you can reduce your permitting timelines, reduce your capital expenditures, particularly when you've got underutilized production facilities? So I think it's a great question about Ascot, because as Ascot opens itself up for more ore, that is one option for Dolly to consider in the future as we're looking to move from explorer to producer.
Alrighty. Well, I appreciate that. And Sean, like I said, I can't let you leave. This one, I've been waiting for 5 days to talk to you about this and make some funny jokes here. In case anyone is still, a little shaken up about the sell-off for the last couple of weeks, which I don't know if you say it's completely over yet, but certainly a step in a good direction today. And we'll take one quick look here. There's Dolly. And I might add, just when Sean was giving to everyone watching at home, Sean, you were giving the Canadian prices before. This is the US price. So just to make sure there was no confusion there. But where did our silver chart go? Well, we'll pull that back up, but it's up about $1.70 still today. There we have it. Seven still at that 170, and you can see the spot price just at $50. So anyway, the last note here, we have Scott Bessent. I wonder what is the boundary here, because him and Trump have been talking about inflation is down, inflation is falling, which, I get it, politicians aren't the most honest bunch in general, but when you keep spouting that out in order to influence your constituents so that you can jam down their throat whatever policy you're going to do, which, as we've said, is weakening the dollar. They've been clear about that. And even with the Fed cutting rates, remember, we're just a couple months away from the Trump administration getting someone in there who's going to cut them even faster. So this is from his Twitter. Jobs are booming, inflation is falling. I'm not sure what numbers he's looking at. Obviously, the Fed, they get all giddy over their PCE metrics. So here's PCE. It's been rising for the last one, two, three, four months. Here's the core PCE, it's been rising as well. Here's the CPE, it's going straight up. Here's core PCE. I mean, we could check shadow stats. I'll bet it's not coming down there or on the Chatwood index. So just, I don't know if there's a question, but if you have any thoughts on how they keep saying inflation is falling, which, unless I'm there's some new metric I haven't found, seems either like misleading, or I don't know if you want to say the guy's lying. I wouldn't rule that out, but sure, it doesn't seem like inflation is falling. And in either case, we know they're going to make sure inflation goes higher because they're cutting rates into this. But any thoughts on how you feel about that as you see that repeatedly?
Yeah, well, every time a politician opens his mouth, he's lying, right? So, this doesn't surprise me. And I think they're in a tough spot, right? We work in a system that is built on confidence, right? And they need to keep confidence in the system, and they need to keep that system going as long as possible and ensure that the transition is orderly. Right, that the decline is orderly. So, they've been lying. Let's go back to Bernanke. Why pick on poor Scott here, right? We can go back and, pick on Helicopter Ben
I'm
or
down with that. Let's bring him in too. Never a
so,
bad time.
everything they say is the opposite, right? And so if you just and I think, Powell's in a tough place because, the Fed is supposed to be independent. They're getting a lot of pressure, and he'll be replaced. And Anyway, so look, does it surprise me that they're talking up, trying to keep stability and have this decline orderly? No, it doesn't. But thankfully, you and I have our eyes open and our ears open, and we're looking at the facts, right? Unfortunately, for most people, they don't have the time or the resources that you and I have to uncover the truth and to get on the right side of this. And that's why, more money will be made during the decline than was made in the rise, right? And it'll affect and impact less people, but it'll be more concentrated. So, my goal is I want every investor out there to go out and get some physical silver and protect yourself. Save in silver if you can, anything you can. And then if you want to speculate, these mining stocks, and you can start with the biggest and the best out there, the First Majestics and the Wheaton Precious Metals. And then as you speculate further down the food chain, and you find companies like Dolly Varden who are looking to be quite disruptive, right? Like when we first met, I told you, Chris, I want to be the Woody Woodpecker of the exploration game here, and put together a lot of silver and do the work where the future silver cos of the world are going to need. And never did I dream that we were going to be in the position to actually become one of the big silver cos, right? And that's the transition that we are now trying to make. So I think First Majestic was built. It was a 20-year process to get to where it is today. And I think Dolly Varden's process started 5 years ago, but we are on the right path to making that transition and making that move.
Well, I appreciate that, Sean. And Mr. Woodpecker, you might need to find a bigger tree soon because as we wrap up, I'll just mention again that here were the drill results, 26.74 grams per ton over 14.76 meters, 122 grams over 2.85 meters. Link to this full press release in the description field below. And Sean, if people are going through the press release, I know if they have questions, you can do this. You got the online feature here, although obviously you also have some great people at Dolly, including our friend Diana. If you could just let them know if they have questions, want to get in touch with management, find out more about these results or the completion of the 56,131 meter drill program that you guys have just wrapped up. What's the best way for them to reach out and who to speak with?
Yeah, there's a contact page on the website there. There's phone numbers, email addresses. We're on social media. We've got a full team that would love to talk to you. I think Diana's number is listed right there. If you scroll down a little bit, there's her phone number. There's the email addresses. So call us. We love talking about Dolly, but we're passionate about the metals. Like, we're all silver stackers and gold stackers, and I've got a lot of experience and are students of the mining industry and are well versed on the whole sector. So just happy, we're enthusiastic, we're passionate about it, and we'd be happy to talk to any of your viewers.
Yeah, and I might add that talking silver with Diana is actually a lot of fun. So while I don't know if I should say 10,000 people go call Diana today, although certainly if you have questions about Dolly and certainly the things that we're discussing here in the silver market, Diana, great to reach out to, as well as Sean. And with all that said, my friend, I think we're about to wrap up here for today. So just appreciate you making some time on another exciting portion of this journey. I guess it becomes a little bit, I don't know if it should or shouldn't, but it seems to become a life quest for many of us as we follow this along, especially if you're involved in the industry to some degree, or even if you're just the good people watching at home who I certainly appreciate you being here as well. So, Sean, I will give us one last look at our pricing today where we see gold futures now over 4,100. Silver is still floating right around that $50 level. So, we'll see what happens when we get latest numbers on China if
Well,
that dips lower. And go ahead.
Chris, when I first got into the business, I was got involved with a little penny stock. It was 7 cents a share, and I remember we went through a dollar, and there was an old timer who told me, he goes, You need to go through and stay through three times in order to to solidify the move. And on that third time, we ended up going to $5. And I think $50, third time through it, if we can hold here, stay here, close here, I wonder where the next major level of resistance will be. Because when you break an all-time high, and you don't stay there the first time. You know, it takes two, three attempts. You look at gold. You know, gold went after 2,000 three times, and when it went through, it's doubled. So, you know, Keith Neumeyer talk has was the first to coin the term triple digit silver. And you know, one would say that, you know, my $75 target is probably light, and we're probably headed to 100 here in that in the timeline that I pointed out for 75. So I'll leave you with that thought.
Yeah, and then I guess even aside from the money printing, it's still I look at the deficit and what we're seeing, the ramifications of that manifest now, where does the price go if that doesn't get resolved in a situation where it's hard to even conceive of a resolution? Although fortunately, Shauna, I'll actually be going up to the Silver Institute dinner on Thursday, and I know there's gonna be a lot of the bankers there. I think Daniel Galley may be there, and I'm love to talk with him, and we'll check back in soon, and I'll let you know what I find. And one final time, I'll mention that the link to the press release with the latest drill results from Dolly in the description field below. And you have just seen the man running Dolly. That is Sean Kunkun. And I'm gonna wrap up for now, but Sean, thank you again, and thank everyone at home who's watching and part of our community and following this silver and gold story. And we will look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you, Chris.